from the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10, verse 46 and following. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I'm intrigued by the words of Bartimaeus in this text where he says, "Lord, let me see again." As much of a hunger as it would be for a person to have sight, even more of a pain, of an urgency, of a desire would certainly grasp the heart of a person who wanted restored what had been lost. We find imageries in Scripture where Jesus speaks of the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost child. And we, dear friends, throughout our Scriptures are reminded that we have a God who restores, who seeks out and delivers those who have been lost to new life and restoration. So here in our text today, we receive these words, this appeal, this devastating turmoil that Bartimaeus finds himself in, wanting returned what he had lost. His sight. So much so that he knew how precious it was because he had had it before. You know, I think of the time that Manya and I moved to St. Louis, and we lived in the Midwest for many years. And when we were there, being big city people, there were some things that I knew I missed. There was a loss in my life. I missed aspects of small town living that are easily overlooked by us in the day-to-day journey. The gift of a small town bank where you can simply call and speak to one person to meet all your needs, whether it's wanting to know the balance of your checking account or wanting to borrow $10,000. I think of my brother Mickey, and he had a phone number once that was very similar to that of the People's Bank. And invariably, from time to time, someone would call him on a Saturday morning wanting to do business with the bank, and they'd wake him early on a Saturday. One morning, he got a call about 8 a.m. from an elderly lady, and she said, "Yeah, I was just wondering how much money I had in the bank." He, with his eyes closed, barely awake, simply said, "You got plenty." And her response was, "Thank you," and hung up. Not knowing what plenty was, but she had it. Small town banks, a community doctor, what a gift it is to be able to go to your local physician and fellow church member and get intimate care. You see, those are the gifts that I didn't know were such gifts until I didn't have them once more, until I was in an urban setting. It was something I had lost. And how much greater was the plight of Bartimaeus? He knew what it was like now to try to exist without his sight because he once had seen there was a hunger for restoration. And sometimes we have losses greater than moving from one location to another, or maybe even losses spiritually that even far surpass physical blindness. There's a hunger. There's a desire in our hearts, in our innermost beings, for restoration of what we once had. And so we understand in some way the depth of Bartimaeus' despair, his urgency and eagerness to be restored today. And in this text, I think Bartimaeus gives us a wonderful model, an example of how to seek restoration from our God. You know, I thought of the word CPR, or the abbreviation CPR, how that symbolizes for us resuscitation in life. Cardiopulmonary resuscitation. CPR, we think of that as giving someone back life, vibrance, restoration when they are on the brink of death. And in this scripture today, I think Bartimaeus gives us a lesson on spiritual CPR. A model that perhaps we can use when we feel we are engripped with separation from God or needing restoration, whether it be from anxiety, from addiction, or a physical illness, or spiritual brokenness that plagues us. I think there are lessons from Bartimaeus in our text that we can take with us today for our spiritual CPR. The first letter of CPR that I think of that Bartimaeus exemplifies here is that he places himself in a position for restoration. You know, the scripture tells us that as Jesus had gone into Jericho, that just as he was leaving, Bartimaeus had positioned himself in a place where Jesus was sure to be found. Jesus couldn't get out of town without going through that road. Bartimaeus placed himself where hope was coming. He was intentional. You know, I think of that. I've shared this analogy with you before. If I wanted to go lion hunting, I could go lion hunting this afternoon. Did y'all know that? I could head out as soon as church is over, and I could go up to Memphis, and I could perch myself at the corner of Union Avenue and East Parkway, and I could be lion hunting. And there's a chance I could get a lion. A lion this afternoon could break out of the Memphis Zoo, run down North Parkway, take a right on East Parkway, a left on Union, and if I'm there, I have a chance to be successful in bagging a lion. But if I really want to go a lion hunting, what do? I go to the place where lions are sure to be found. I go to Africa. Friends, in our scripture today, Bartimaeus positioned himself in a place where Jesus was sure to be found. He embraced the first letter of CPR. He went to church. You see, today we are fortunate as those who are second generation, third generation members of this church. Our first-time church members, we have a place where we know we can intentionally go to weekly and worship, and that Jesus Christ is sure to be there. So, like Bartimaeus, may we embrace this opportunity. to worship regularly, intentionally, to come into the house of God because He is sure to be home. Bartimaeus modeled that by placing himself where Jesus was sure to be found. That gift is open to us. When we are seeking restoration in our life, let's be intentional people of faith. Whether we're listening to this sermon now in this sanctuary or we're listening electronically this week through the internet, let's be more intentional in the spirit of Bartimaeus to seek out the place where God is sure to be found. Let us be people of worship. Let us go into His sanctuary. Let us go to the place where restoration is sure to be found. Not only does Bartimaeus position himself where Jesus is sure to be found, but Bartimaeus also takes action. Did you hear in our text where it says not only was Bartimaeus beside the road, but when he heard that Jesus was coming, he spoke out. He raised his voice. He offered his petition. He lifted his heart's desires to the Savior of the world. You know what Bartimaeus did? He prayed. You see, that's the model that we have today. The opportunity we have not just weekly, friends, but every day to intimately and passionately lift our appeals to the God of restoration who cares for us and yearns to restore us. May we, in the spirit of Bartimaeus, just as he cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon me," may we, friends, daily and reverently speak to our God, cry out to Him in our praise, in our confession, in our thanksgiving, and yes, asking Him to offer supplication and restoration from our brokenness. That's the model that Bartimaeus offers us. He embraces the C of CPR. He goes to church. He offers the P. He prays. You know, I've shared with some of you before. Just this morning, Manya cried out with her voice cracking even more than mine from allergies this morning, and said this simple statement, "I need coffee." She didn't say, "I want coffee." She said, "I need coffee." And usually, I've shared this with you before, when I have my A game on, Deborah, she doesn't even have to ask for it. Deborah doesn't have to ask for it. Wayne usually has it ready. And if I have my A-gay on, Vince, I put that cup out right after I fix mine in the morning so I won't forget, Randall. You see what I'm doing? I'm being intentional. It's a discipline. Every day, and the more I do it, the less I forget to do it. And the more dependent she becomes upon that gift, and the more joy it gives me in giving. You see that simple gesture? What if we embraced our prayer life with that same discipline, that same passion, that same intentionality? It's no coincidence that Scripture tells us that Jesus rose early in the morning and went to a sacred place to have time with the Father alone in prayer. Friends, if Jesus practiced that spiritual discipline, then shouldn't we embrace it for all the joy and restoration it gives us? Be intentional in your prayer life. I don't think it's coincidental this morning that we sang that in our anthem. Jennifer didn't know I was going to preach in prayer. And here our anthem is "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Friends, speak to God daily. Cry out in the voice of Bartimaeus and do so with an intentional, deliberate prayer time every day. You know, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, one of my favorite books of the Bible. Paul says these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is near. He says, present your request, your prayers to God, and give thanks in everything. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and your souls and your minds. You see, even in that, Paul was in prison. Paul was facing persecution, but he said, when we are people of prayer, there is more peace in our life. There's less anxiety. There's less stress. There's less worries. Jesus said it himself. Do not worry, but put your hope in God. You see, Paul's not just saying, you don't have to be anxious. He's saying the way not to be anxious is to be prayerful fervently in your relationship with God and rely on Him to restore you and be your strength. Those are words of life to me. I'm not preaching at you. I'm receiving this word with you. My prayer life, I guard it daily. I cherish it. Not because I'm so holy, but because I'm so broken. And I need God's grace. I need His strength. Daily, I hunger. I've tried my journey in life without an intimate prayer life, and I've tried it with. And friends, there's more peace. There's more joy. There's more life. Bartimaeus also models for us another example of how to have CPR in our spiritual journey with God. Not only do we go to church to see, not only do we pray, but the R of CPR is we read God's Word. We listen for His voice. You see, that's what happened in our text today. Bartimaeus cried out for Jesus, but did you hear when Jesus responded? Bartimaeus was listening. He was eager to hear. Jesus stopped and said, bring him here to me. And the scripture said that Bartimaeus threw off his cloak, the only belonging he had. He sprang up and he ran to the Lord. He listened to what Jesus had to say. Friends, we are fortunate. As modern day Christians, we have the Bible at our fingertips, on our phones. The words of life readily available to us so that we can hear God speak to us daily. The book is there for a reason. It's practical. You know, I think of my niece, Montana, when she was taking her driver's exam back when she was 16 years old. I'm embarrassed to say the poor girl failed her driver's exam 3 times. And after the 3rd time of failing the written exam, my mom, she was trying to console her, making her feel better, and said, Montana, it's okay. You just need to get the book, study it harder, and you'll pass the next time. And with that, Montana's eyes blew open as big as they could, and she said, there's a book? She was doing pretty good, barely failing without the book. It's so much easier when we have an instruction manual, isn't it? Friends, we have the book. That's not preacher talk. I'm not saying that because I think that's what you think I should say from the pulpit. I'm telling you that in Holy Scripture, there is God's still small voice for you and me to guide our life, to tell us what we need to do in a way that far surpasses passing a driver's exam. You know, Bartimaeus models for us the way to be restored in God. If we will practice His spiritual CPR, friends, we can find restoration daily in our Lord. But you know the greatest thing about this scripture today? For me, it's not the model of Bartimaeus, as important as that is. It's not so much what this blind man seeking restoration did, but it was the one who restored him that enamors me most of all. You see, when I think of restoration, friends, I try to remember what does it mean for something, perhaps an animate object or an inanimate object, to be restored. Over at Blue Mountain College, they're in the process of restoring a beautiful home named the Palmer Donnell House. And back several years ago, they had to make the determination, are we just going to tear that house down, or can it be restored? And for something like that to be restored, you have to answer a few questions. First, is it worth the effort? Who's going to do the work? It takes effort to restore something. And next, not only does it take effort, you know, it takes love. It takes affection. You don't restore something that you don't care about, right? And lastly, another important ingredient in restoration is you have to have hope that it can be restored. You have to wonder if it's worth the energy, if there's any life left in it. Well, that house has been restored. And Bartimaeus, a child of God, was restored because it wasn't so much what Bartimaeus brought to that relationship that day, but as he perched himself on the side of the road, Jesus stopped. And he said, you are worth it. You are worth it, and you are loved by me in spite of your brokenness. And Bartimaeus, I'm going to take the effort to not only give you what you need, but to also answer this question. Bartimaeus, what do you want? Friends, God offers that same invitation to us because he looks upon Randall and Benton and Jody and Lynn and says, you, like Bartimaeus, are my child, worthy of restoration. May we cry out to him this day and forever. Amen.